It's such an incredible difference between what I have on my iPad and the book that I'm trying to figure it out right now. Well, I think, last time I thought there was something wrong. And there was a whole section missing. I don't know why it wasn't put on the iPad. So what I'll do is I'll continue, because then I haven't prepared the second. In other words, I looked at the book rather than the iPad, and there's like 15 pages missing. And therefore, we started in the middle of nowhere, and it didn't make sense. So I'll catch up next week with that. All right, why don't we just start where we left off, which is actually in the middle. So, Omigenitimarandasya, Ganajana, Shalakaya, Chaksu, Lutam Yena, Rupa, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Okay, so like I said, there was a section missing and it somehow began halfway into the story. Somehow it is transferred to the iPad that was missing. But what's going to happen now is it's going to be another story of someone coming to Krishna consciousness, like it's and somehow the discussion. Remember, the book is Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma means the eternal nature of the soul, or Nitya Dharma, and Nitya Dharma has been highlighted. Because that's the essence of spiritual life. The essence of spiritual life is getting to the platform of the soul. Karma and jnana are meant to bring you to bhakti, which is the eternal nature. And if you don't get there, then it's considered useless from the perspective of bhakti. Chaktva sudharmam chanam chanam Chattvasudharmam charanam bhujam hare bhujana pakvotak vite yato yato yati. Something like that. You give up everything for bhakti. No loss, but what if you gain karmic gain and you just stay there? There's no profit. Even if you kind of correct the business of karmic gain is a type of devotion. Karma by following God's laws and jnana by rejecting what is not God is supposed to help you bring you to the point of bhakti. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanamam mampapajyate vasudeva sabam. After many, many births, after many, many births, Vijnani, Bahunam Chandmanam Mante, Gyanizam Mampapa, that you can surrender to Krishna. And that's why in the Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva, he was condemned by Narada Muni because he was giving this indirect path of karma and jnana, but people were not really qualified materially or even spiritually in ways to pursue those paths. To become selfless and spiritual, and they could get stuck on those paths. So, the goal is this Jiva Dharma. The goal is love of Godhead. Dharma Svanushnita Punsa Viviksena Kitayu. You may perform your duties, but if it doesn't lead to an awakening of love in the soul, which inspires you to glorify Krishna, glorify God, then it really has no value. So that's what this book's about. And according to who is coming to Krishna consciousness, because it's the story of the generation after the Lord Chaitanya when people are coming to Krishna consciousness. So according to who's coming to Krishna consciousness, Jiva Dharma or Nitya Dharma has to be explained in a different way, from a different perspective. The first one that came was a Maya body. So Krishna consciousness, the Nitya Dharma had to be explained in opposition to Advaita Vedanta. And then the aristocratic Brahmin came, and the Nitya Dharma had to explain in relationship to Van Ashram, or at least in relationship to the Vana. And now we're going to have the story of materialistic people who come to Krishna consciousness, and it's really going to have to be explained in relationship to ashram, the relationship between devotional service and material life. So we're going to read about that more the next time, but it's going to talk about the descendants of Udharana Dutta, which happens to be the family that Prabhupada came into. And they were very attached to Harinam, but it's going to focus on this one person who wouldn't chant Hare Krishna, didn't want to spend money on organizing festivals, and became wealthy. And then his wife, his name is Chandidas, his wife Damayanti, also did not extend the least hospitality to the Vaishnavas. And because they had that mood, Their children became the same way. And it's described, a saintly person never visits the house. It's very unlikely the children can become kind and compassionate. So these children grew up very selfish like their parents. And the story will be how they turned on their parents and stole all their wealth. And this Chandidas meets this Grihastha Brahmin culture, this married Brahmin named Yadava. And they've begun to ask him about Grihastha Vaishnavas, because, you know, how to become spiritual in this way, where they can practice Shuddha Bhakti. And I guess they take him to Anantadas. He takes them to Anantadas, and he asks the questions in front of Anantadas, and he explains that that Grihastha Vaishnavas, you know, have so many social conventions. And that's okay. And because they have social conventions, sometimes they are under the jurisdiction of, you know, ritualistic priests. But they should never engage in these activities to fulfill their material ambitions. And then it describes in general that, you know, one should, a Vaishnava, when it comes to maintaining one's livelihood, everyone has to depend on other people. Medicine, foodstuff, clothes, house. So, nirapeksha or renunciate means that he reduces one's needs as far as possible, because no one can become absolutely independent. But for advancement in bhakti, it is best, and as Anantadas explaining, to be as free from as possible from material dependency as possible. And therefore, all these activities that were mentioned before, marriage and ceremonial functions for deceased forefathers, they become free from defects when one links them with Krishna. For example, he's explaining, you don't enter marriage to beget children or worship the forefathers independent of Krishna. But what a person, a man getting married, is saying, I'm accepting this lady as a maidservant of Krishna. So we assist each other. And establish a Krishna conscious family life. So that's the mood. Or on the sadha ceremony, the oblations, it's not that you do oblations to the forefathers in just a religious, ritualistic way. You offer the forefathers Krishna prasad, and then you feed the Brahmins. Actually, this is the system. One devotee I met on Harinam, Tattavadya, told me his father just died, and I explained the system. It's from Jivadharma. If your relative dies, you sponsor prasadam, offer to the deities, and then offer that to the deceased relative, and then you feed the Brahmins, and that's favorable. When John Sharini's father died and he contacted me, I arranged something in Puri where we offered the prasad, the Jagannath prasad, to his father, or some Jagannath prasad, and the rest of the Jagannath prasad to the Vaishnavas. And Dr. Fakir Mohan was next to me. He was just saying, yes, certainly the person gets the benefit. So, our ritual should be connected with Krishna. So much practical information to people married in the world. And then Ananta asked Yadava to consider that most of Lord Chaitanya's associates were married. And so were many of the saintly king and the great sages, Dhruva, Pallad, Pandavas. So he said they're very respected. And now we'll read on. Yadavadas, if Grihastha Bhaktas are so highly respected and dear to everyone, why do some of them renounce household life? Anantadas, some Grihastha Bhaktas are eligible to renounce their household life. But such Vaishnavas are very few in this world, and their association is rare. Sannyas is generally not recommended in this age. And the history of the sannyas ashram in ISKCON certainly is a testimony to that. I remember there was a picture of Prabhupada's room over his bed. One second, I'm pouring some water, you get that sound. There was a picture over Prabhupada's bed. I just need to take up the drink. And in that picture, there was Prabhupada on the steps in front of one of the temples, maybe Mayapur Vrindavan, with about 50 sannyasis. And then someone stole it, maybe one of the sannyasis. Because I don't remember practically one person in that picture that remained. So it's rare. And he's going to explain why it's rare. And then even in Prabhupada's purports, you know, he explains that a sannyasi really can't be a sannyasi of days of yore, but at least avoid social intercourse. And I know what that means, you know. You know, myself, there's, you know, of course there's Vaishnava functions, but you're not out there socially in the world. it's just not sannyas. Yadava, kindly explain how one becomes eligible to renounce household life. Anantadas, human beings have two tendencies, Bahamukhi, the outward tendency, and Antarmukhi, the inward tendency. The Vedas refer to these two tendencies being focused towards the external world and focused inwards towards the soul. So in the Yoga Sutras, in the first chapter, when it recommends yoga, yoga chitta vritti nirodha, that you quell the thoughts, and that the way to practice this is by vairagya and abhyas. Practice means to concentrate for a very, very long period of time with a certain reverence and understanding. And vairagya means this turning the senses back inwardly. So people have tendencies, and most tendencies, the senses are just coming out in every direction looking for the objects of the senses. And the antarmukha tendency, the other tendency, is that basically they're turned inward towards the soul. Person is very, very introspective. He's always sensitive to the needs of the soul, not the needs of acquiring objects. So he explains, you know, that when the pure spiritual soul forgets its true identity, he falsely identifies the mind as the self, although the mind is really only a part of the subtle material body. Having identified with the mind in this way, the soul takes assistance from the doorways of the senses and becomes attracted to the external sense objects. This is the outward potency. So the mind, when you identify, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and that's the conception in the mind, and you think that mind is you, the enjoyer, the controller, then the soul takes assistance from the door, an illusion, from the doorways of the senses to get objects. Because you become the controller, enjoyer in your conception, to become object. And this is the outward tendency. And it's all based on identity. That's why bhakti, more than anything else, is a change of identity. That's why initiation is recommended, because it's supposed to be a profound change of identity. No longer centering your life on that identification in the mind, I'm the internal controller. But centering the mind on the voice of Krishna, represented by the words of Guru, and the mind starts to identify, not seeing objects for one's sense of gratification, but seeing objects for service. And in that way, the consciousness is turned inward. Because when you see objects for service, it's a reflection of the soul. When you see objects for an enjoyment, it's a reflection of the mind. The inward tendency is exhibited when the stream of consciousness reverts from gross matter back into the mind, and from there to the soul proper. So the consciousness, seeing matter, looking at it as God, meant for service, the mind focuses on the soul as the servant of God. So everything reverts inwardly. One whose tendency is predominantly outward must conduct all external tendencies offensively with Krishna at the center through the strength of Sadhu Sangha. So it's only by Sadhu Sangha, by the association of people who are developing strongly that inward tendency, if one takes shelter of Krishna Bhakti, these outward tendencies are quickly curtailed and converted into inward tendencies, because you're starting to see things not in relationship to your desires, but in relationship to Guru's desires, in relationship to God's desires. And that focuses the consciousness on the self. When the direction of one's tendency is completely inward, the eligibility to renounce household life is born. When it becomes completely inward, but if one gives up household before this stage is reached, there's a significant danger of falling down. Because sannyas means renunciation. And it's renunciation from engaging with the objects in an external way, or engaging with the objects at all. You're announcing the objects. The consciousness is not flowing to them at all. It doesn't have to flow back from them. You're renouncing the objects. But if you do that prematurely, you'll fall down. Fall down from what? From the inward tendency. And that, because you've checked that outward tendency in this type of sannyas. The Grihastha Ashram is a special school where the jivas learn about spiritual truth, Atma Tattva, and get a chance to develop spiritual realizations. They may leave the school when their education is complete. Out of the dust. What are the symptoms of a bhakta who's eligible to give up household life? Anatta. He should be free from the desire to associate with the opposite sex for gross or subtle material enjoyment. He should have unrestricted mercy towards all living entities. So, he should see himself as the servant of everyone, and not engage in this political friends and enemies mode. Merciful to all, He should be completely indifferent towards endeavor to accumulate wealth, because wealth is a power that enables you to manipulate objects for your enjoyment. So you don't, if you don't have that desire, you don't have desire for wealth. And you should strive only in times of need to acquire food and clothing suitable for maintaining himself. He should have unconditional love for Krishna, should shun the association of materialists, and should be free from the desire to perform great undertakings. For ego, really. Because it says, one of the principles of bhakti, you should not print too many books, you should not get too many disciples, you should not open many temples. But we do these things. But if we do these things, it can't be connected to the ego, and too often it is. And he should be free from the desire, and he should be free from attachment and aversion in life and death. Srimad Bhagavatam describes these symptoms as follows in 11.2.45. Sarva bhuteshu yap pashye bhagavat bhavam atmana. Bhutani bhagavat yatman yesha bhagavatottama. One who sees his own mood of attraction for Sri Krishna Chandra, the soul of all souls, in all jivas, and who sees all living entities residing within the shelter of Krishna, is an Uttama Bhagavat. So now it's describing very high levels of consciousness. So the thing, it says you see everyone is serving Krishna. There's an Uttama Bhagavat. It's a consciousness. Of course, it's really, it's just reflecting your mood of seeing everything as part of Krishna. And it invokes a reverence for everything. And you start seeing through that love, and you see everybody connecting to Krishna. But it says when one becomes a guru, he has to come to the Madhya Bhagavat platform to make distinctions to teach. So basically, the way I reconcile this, that a very, very advanced devotee, he can see through the head or see through the heart. When he sees through the heart, in that utter humility, that utter realization of what advayam gyan, what non-dual Brahman, when he understands the immanence of God, when he ever understands that God is the substance and basis of everything, and that one is just an infinitesimal particle in relationship to God, that is such a humbling inner conception. And that conception destroys the ego. And when one sees through those eyes, in utter humility, he sees everyone is serving Krishna better than himself. But at the same time, as a service for Krishna, he can make intellectual judgments. That this person is needs my help. This person I need to instruct. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.22, Bhagavan Kapilade describes the primary characteristic of sadhus. Vayanyena pavena poptim kurvanti ye tidham matkrite chaktukarmanas chaktasar swa janapandava. Those who worship no one but me, and who therefore engage in firm and exclusive devotion unto me, give up everything for my sake, including all duties prescribed in Vanashram Dharma, and all relationships with their wives, children, friends, and relatives. So, your duties become Krishna conscious. Your duties no longer become, you no longer have to be a grihastha as a prescription to regulate your own desires. And relationships are not needed in relationship to that. So you have no more prescribed duties, because prescription is to the disease. But one may still stay in those positions for various reasons, including acharite shrishtas tadeve karojana, whatever the great men do, common men will follow. And of course, the platform of bhakti at that consciousness, the advancement is not the renunciation, the advancement is the dedication. But the renunciation may free up certain aspects of the consciousness for that dedication. But unless one uses it for that dedication, then one is not advanced. You can be an impersonalist, where you've given up those needs, but you're still concerned with your own spiritual greatness. It's also said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.255, Visvajati Vidayam Yasya Sakshat Dariya Avishabhi Pato Jinko Khanasa Pramyarasanaya Vitangri Padma Sabhavati Bhagavata. If one utters, even without intent, Sri Harinam, in a senseless mood, at once heaps of sin accumulated through many lifetimes are destroyed. Such a person thereby binds Sri Hari's lotus feet within his heart with ropes of love and is considered the best of the bhaktis. So, now one's consciousness is completely inward, it's focused on the soul, and one is therefore on the platform of offenseless chanting, and therefore all sins are destroyed. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam didami buryogam. No, it's not that. Yesham tvantupat. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punya karmana te dvandva. When all your sins are finished, you become very fixed. When all your sins are finished, all your desires to serve separate from God, and all the reactions to your previous activities separate from God that are meant to purify you, they're destroyed, because everything is meant to bring you to that point of absolute, utter surrender to God in love. The surrender to everything. The surrender to the cosmic community, to God's consciousness, to the Supreme Person. When you do that, then the law of karma has no purpose. It's only giving the result of your activities to bring you to that point. So if you come to that point, the karma nirtahati bhakti chabajam, there's no karma. When these symptoms are manifest in a grihastha bhakti, he is no longer suited for engagement in karma, and he therefore renounces household life. Such nirapeksha bhaktis are rare, and one should consider himself extremely fortunate to attain their association. Yadavadas, these days young men often renounce household life and adopt the dress of the renounced order. They establish a place for sadhus to congregate and begin to worship the deity of the Lord. After some time, they fall into association with women, but do not give up chanting Harinam. They maintain their hermitage by collecting alms from many places. Are men tyagis or grihastha-bhaktis? So people give up, but they're enjoying. So what's their position? They have the saffron cloth. And again, the tendency to try to control and therefore get power to do so is always a struggle for anyone. And therefore, when one takes sannyas, if he has these tendencies, one takes sannyas and has these tendencies, then it's a dangerous situation. And a lot of people take the position of sannyas, as mentioned in this purport, for power, through accrue power. Like here it says, for wealth, for followers that help them control the world or become objects of sense gratification. So it says often, people renounce and adopt the dress of the renounced order. So what's the status of these men? Anantadas, your question raises several issues at once, but I answer them one by one. First of all, eligibility to renounce household life has nothing to do with youth or old age. Some grihastha bhaktas are qualified by the samskaras acquired in this life and previous lives to give up household life even when they are young. For example, Sukadeva's previous samskaras enabled to renounce household life from the moment of birth. One should only see that this eligibility is not artificial if real attachment awakens, the youth is not independent. So the problem is not the youth. The problem is that people are not detached. And obviously, although it's not an absolute rule, generally in a spiritual path, with age, people become renounced. But people start at different platforms, and some people are renounced at a very, very early age. So it's not youth. It's not youth. Yadavadas, what is real renunciation? What is false renunciation? Real renunciation is so firm that it can never be broken at any time. False renunciation arises from deception, dishonesty, and the desire for prestige. There's stories of people in the Christian desert monk tradition that they're in the monastery and they're renounced and they're very, very respected for their renunciation. And then they go out to the desert and leave the institution to continue that renunciation. And then they fall down. And the reason is, within the institution, because the renunciation is respected, and it says in this one book I'm reading, John Climacus, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, he said that in the institution, the renunciation is fed with the manure of false prestige. And when you leave that institution, you go out by yourself, and your renunciation is not fed, your renunciation dies. So real renunciation is really deep in the heart. And in the bhakti, it's due to a deep desire to please Krishna. Our renunciation is our spiritual goals. Our intense spiritual goals allow us to give up things that are external to those goals that are anartha, that have no artha or wealth or value to those spiritual goals. And false renunciation is just because of the desire for prestige, and it's dishonest. Some people make a show of renunciation to gain the respect that is offered to nirupeksha bhaktis who have given up household life. So that culture, sannyas, is very respected. I remember when I was 32 and I was a sannyasi and I was in India, I was respected by so many elderly and brahminical people. I remember even when I used to go to the foreign registration office, a long line, and when the head of the foreign registration office came, he called me out of the line and take me to the front. There's respect. As soon as such person leaves the home, the symptom of his eligibility for detachment disappears and depravity sets in. Gautavadas, does a bhakti who has given up household life need to adopt the external dress of renunciate? Nirapeksha, a kinshin of bhaktis who have firmly renounced the spirit of enjoyment purified in the entire world, whether they live in the forest or remain in home. Some of them accept the loincloth and worn and torn clothes as external signs to identify them as members of the renounced order. At the time of accepting this attire, they strengthen their resolve by taking a firm vow in the presence of other Vaishnavas in the renounced order. This is called entrance into the renounced order or the acceptance of appropriate garments for renunciation. If you refer to this as the acceptance of the dress of renunciation, bhiksha, rahana, or bhishan, what is the harm? Yadavadas, what is the purpose of being identified by the signs of the renounced order? Ananta, it is very helpful to be identified as the member of the renounced order. Our renunciate's family members will no longer maintain a relationship with him and it will easily give him up. He will no longer desire to enter his house, and a natural detachment will awaken in his heart, the consequent fear of material society. So it's not an absolute rule for renunciation to adopt the dress, but it's a certain facility if done properly, especially in that culture. People respect it. One is not on the market. One is not obligated to the family. Even myself, I can see that somehow or other, after a while, my mother got the idea that I am not socially obligated. The only family function I went to in 40 years is my first niece got married, and I went to the beginning ceremony of, you know, the marriage and gave her some blessings. My younger brother's 50th birthday, I stopped in after the dinner for about an hour. It is beneficial to some bhaktas to accept the outward signs of renunciation, though this may not be necessary if detachment from household life is fully matured. It's said in Bhagavatam 4:29-46, Sajahati Matim Loke Vede Chapati Nishtatam. A bhakta who receives the mercy of Bhagavan gives up all attachment for all worldly activities and for all ritualistic duties prescribed in the Vedas. There is no injunction to such bhaktas to accept the outward dress of renunciation. It is necessarily only as long there is some dependence on public consideration. From whom should one accept the renounced order? Ananta, one should accept the renounced order from a Vaishnava who is situated in the renounced order. Rasta bhaktas have no experience of the behavior of renounced bhaktas, so they should not initiate anyone to the renounced order. The following statement of the Brahma Vimarta Purana confirms this. One brings renunciation to the world if he instructs others in religious principles that he himself does not follow. Okay, we'll continue with this. Are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello? Hare Krishna, people can't mute, unmute. Let me try. Anybody like to say hello? Hi, Bob. Who is that? Conversation is up, mode is on. You don't have to mute or unmute your phone. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail?
Yes.
Thank you.
You have time for, I think it's a quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, it's, when a person performs a Shraddha ceremony, or not Shraddha ceremony, but when your loved one passes away and they offer the food for the benefit of that loved one. I mean, I know you say that you offer the food to the deities and then the food is distributed. What I'm trying to do is understand the connection between offering food to the deities or Krishna and the person, your beloved, getting benefit from that. How?
Well, first of all, it's prasadam. So you offer the ancestor prasadam, so he gets benefit from the person, the relative. He offers them prasadam.
Uh-huh.
And then, because prasadam is offered to all the Vaishnavas in their name, then the Vaishnavas' blessings and desires are registered with Krishna for that soul.
Uh-huh.
That's the system. Okay?
Yeah, so you offer, even though the your ancestor may not be of somebody, you know, I mean, to offer
well,
your ancestor...
It's done because the ancestor is not pure. That's why it's done. Because the ancestor is not pure, whether they're devotee or not devotee, it doesn't matter.
They can't even accept it, you know?
They can accept it. They accept it. They don't have to accept it. It's offered to them. The benefit will go to them.
Oh.
Krishna makes the arrangement. These are his rules.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gautam Bhakta Das.
Hare Bhav, Govardhan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? All right, it's okay. We can end today. I'll find out who's on this. Rati sends me the numbers anyway. Thank you much.